When things aren't going great in your life, it's not hard to worship and praise the Lord. But can you worship God when you're not feeling good and in a great deal of pain? Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe to have us think that through.
Do we have a faith that only enjoys when we get stuff? Anybody enjoys when they get stuff. The real relationship happens when we lose and we choose, do I worship or do I not?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day, wake up my hand and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
At various times in our lives, we'll experience loss. It may be the loss of a loved one, or our health is deteriorating, maybe the loss of a job. But how do we deal with loss in a God-honoring fashion? The story of Job really helps us with that, and that's where we're headed today on The Balanced Word. We'll also learn how to best help others when they're dealing with loss. Pastor Dave Rolfe is looking at the Bible stories we find from Genesis to Revelation. And in today's story, Job was able to worship the Lord at a time of great loss. Pastor Dave recalls a time when that really hit home for him in a meaningful way.
Every time I read this story, it reminds me of a time, and maybe I've told you before about this, but one time I got a phone call from the police department that somebody in Newport Beach had died, and they asked me to go to the hospital and be there with his wife. And, you know, I got the call. I'm like, okay, I'm gone. And I'm heading down. This guy had some kind of congenital heart deal all his life, but he's a young guy. He's like 40 or in his 30s or something like that, young to me. And so I'm driving to the hospital. He had gone to the store, and he died in the store. And so the ambulance took him to Hogue, and now his wife was on the way. And as I'm driving, I'm praying for him, and I'm just thinking, what do I say? How do I approach this person? And while I was driving, a friend of mine who at the time was a captain in Newport Beach, he's now the chief of Costa Mesa, he called me and he said, do you know who this guy is? And I said, the name rings a bell. And at the time, Tom, my friend, was on the board at Calvary Costa Mesa. He said, this last week, we just voted to support him as a missionary. He's wanted to be a missionary. People didn't want him to go be a missionary because of his heart and his health, but our board had voted that we would support him, and he was so happy because he said all he ever wanted to do was be a missionary. And then I'm going, oh man, what do I say? And as I'm driving down to the hospital, the scripture came into my mind, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm going, I can't say that. I really can't go in there and go, well, easy come, easy go, to his widow. This young girl whose husband's been taken away from her, and I'm just having this, and let me make it clear, it wasn't like God said this. It's just, it kind of came into my mind, and I don't, when people start saying, you know, that they're no God is telling them all this stuff, I don't think that's usually God. I know that may offend some of you, and I apologize, and you can pray for me. But I've been around enough schizophrenia that I know that when you're hearing from God all the time, most of the time that's not him, because God's not constantly saying things. He speaks primarily through his word. But I'm hearing this, and I'm going, hmm. And so I walk into the emergency room, and there's his wife, and there's his body laying out on the table. And she was just crying, and I held her, and she said, what do you think God's saying? And I said, oh boy. I said, you know, when Job lost everything, he said, naked came I into the world, and naked will I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And I started to go, but I'm not saying, I know I had a great way to tie it up. And she looked at me so stunned, and I go, oh boy, I blew it. And she said, all day long before he went to the store, he was singing that song that says, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we got to the part about you give and take away, Gary said, I don't want to sing that because I feel like God's given me everything I want. I have you. I have my daughter. And now I'm a missionary. And I do not want to sing, "You Take Away." And she said, "You got to. Because everything that we have comes from God." And so as he walked out the door to go to the store, he was singing, "You give and take away." And with this faith, and for me to come and say that, and then she and I and Tom Gazy, the police captain, stood around his body and we sang that song. I'll never see this scripture the same again. And for all of us, that's like, if we can't come to the point where when in a time of great loss, we say, "I came into the world naked, I'll leave naked. You give, you take away, blessed be your name. You're good no matter what happens to me." Then if we can't say that, what kind of faith do we really have? Do we have a faith that only enjoys when we get stuff? Anybody enjoys when they get stuff. The real relationship happens when we lose and we choose, do I worship or do I not? And for me, the whole story of Job, to let that sink into us is just, it's huge. It's hugely important. A second thing that I think we need to remember in this story, all the time Job's going through this, he doesn't know about this whole thing where he was being used as an example to the devil himself and to others as well, that there is such a thing as a person who's really devoted to God, not just for the stuff that he has. Now, I'm not going to suggest that for any of us, most of you I know well enough to know that I'm pretty certain that God's not going to say you're the most righteous person in the world. I know I'm sure not going to be that guy. But the thing that we want to think about is sometimes when we are experiencing loss and pain, there's more to the story. There's something that's involved in the future about what God wants to do. There's someone who God wants to reach or touch, or there's something more at stake than just our stuff. And I think that even though we don't have that insight, and Job didn't, sometime later he must have learned it or it wouldn't be there in the story there in chapter 1 and 2, but for each of us, maybe there's not a titanic battle between good and evil that's hanging on us, but maybe there's something that we don't know about. And so when we experience loss, even though we don't have the answers, it helps to know that there's so much more to the story sometimes than what we know. And I think that's really important. Another thing that I get from this passage, from this story of Job, is, you know, when somebody's hurting, you don't have to fix it. You don't even have to explain. You be with them. You just sit with them. That's enough. Often when we open our mouths, we do more damage than good. Even when people ask you, "Why would this happen?" They really aren't looking for you to say, "Well, I have three theories and some Bible stories and some stories in my own life, and let me just tell you how." No, they're just looking for you to go, "Man, I know. I don't know why it happened, but I'm with you. You're not alone." I've never, in being with people in times of loss and pain, it's very seldom that someone in those situations later will say, "Boy, the things you said to me made all the difference in the world." But over and over again, I've had people say, "It was just the fact that you were there." Now, I'm sure most of the time when I'm with people, I'm trying to spout little sweet sayings and everything and something that's going to be, but it really, that doesn't work. That doesn't happen. Nothing that I say, I don't say some pastoral thing that then they go, "Oh, that gives me all the answers. Thanks." They'll act like it. They pretend that, "Oh, that makes me feel so much better," but they really don't. But it's really just being there that matters, that contributes. Again, his three friends, if they had just stayed there and shut up and let him talk and not argued with him and not tried to fix him, how much better off he would have been to feel understood And this is something that's important for us to remember, because we're so conditioned, especially men. Women have other ways of fixing people in their lives, usually more undercover, manipulative, or sicking God on you. But men have this thing where we want to fix everything. We just think, if you tell me your problems, I'm assuming that you want ideas. But most of the time, people don't want ideas. They just want somebody to listen to them and be there with them and let them know, hey, I'm right there with you. And so, to me, this story should remind us the bad guys in the story were the people who tried to fix it. And if you read through the book of Job, a lot of what they were saying is actually true. But when you give the truth in a wrong way or at a bad time, it becomes counterproductive. You don't even need to be quoting tons of scripture to people when they're in that time. These guys did. And God goes, what are you doing? That was stupid. Let somebody speak their mind and be there to support them and go, man, I know you feel that way and I understand it. That's one of the hugest pieces of wisdom that I think we can take from this story of Job. Another thing, and again, When I think philosophically. I'm trying to analyze and calculate and all those sorts of things. But it really shocks me and somewhat disappoints me that when God shows up, he didn't give us any answers at all. He didn't. He didn't explain why this happened. He just showed us creation. He showed creation to Job and his friends. And when Job saw the grandeur of creation, he just goes, well, shut my mouth. I'm done. It's amazing. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. Night unto night they show forth knowledge. The probably most profound message that we have, other than Jesus being born, living, dying for us, and rising from the dead, apart from that, the most profound thing we will ever read or hear or see is that world that God created. Even in its fallen state, it's amazing. I think it's so sad that for a lot of Christians, they've just kind of given up on biology, given up on science, given up on the world being bigger than they realize, and just go, oh, we'll stay away from that. You know, we act like science and religion are enemies. Not at all. Creation, science, the beauty and grandeur of all that God has made is a profound statement to us, and it speaks without saying a word. If you go out on a moonlit night, like with this full moon that looks so amazing, and go, okay, God, what are you saying to me? I need 3 points. The moon just keeps shining, that reflection of the sun. The beautiful colors in the sky are still there. The stars are still twinkling, and they're not saying a thing, and yet they are saying so much. They're telling us how big God is. The amazing capabilities in which he designed this universe puts it into perspective. It's one of the reasons why I love going to the beach, and why, I mean, I would go wherever God called me, but I'd hate to leave the beach. Because the beach is so big. And when I go and stand on the shore, no matter what my problems are, I look at how big the beach is, the ocean. I look at how long the sand and how many grains of sand are there. And I see the, you know, a night sky with stars or marine layer. And, you know, I'm just like, wow, I'm so small. Now that may seem to you like, well, that's bad because you need to know how big you are. No, you know, funny thing is, most of what really stresses me is that I overemphasize my own importance. And so then I put pressure on myself. When I see how big God's creation is, it lets me be safe to just be me. It lets me know that if I'm mad at God, I can tell him, and he's not going to have to shut the universe down. He's going to be going, no, I'm glad to hear from you. That's good. He wants to have a relationship with us, and that relationship starts in beauty and creativity and magnitude. That relationship doesn't start by making God really small so that you can go, okay, I know who he is, I know what he is, here's my theological system, or here's my, you know, context in which I am going to meet God. God says, now take a look at what I've made. And that'll probably, it won't answer your questions. It'll just let you know, wow, those questions aren't as big as I thought they were. It's not as tricky as I thought it was. And so a person who has faith already and who has chosen to worship God can just go outside, can just go and look at the beauty of what God has made and go, what was my question? What was my problem? It's one of the things why in the scriptures, time and time again, a city is considered to be the source of evil. It goes way back to the Tower of Babel. That when you overdevelop, you block out the beauty of what God has made. And that beauty is something that we desperately need. I mean, we need the vitamin D that comes from being out in the sun. I read recently where one of the best things you can do for your health is to spend at least a half hour a day walking in the sunlight without sunglasses. It's one of the most healthy things you can do. That's nature. And you begin to close off nature and asphalt it in. No offense to those of you who do asphalt work. But you're pinching off the greatest revelation of God. But if you live here, and one thing I love about our area is they have a lot of greenbelt areas, they have a lot of walking trails and lakes and all this kind of stuff. But even living a few miles from the beach, if you don't ever go there, it's not going to do you any good. If you just drive by the walking trails and go, I should do that sometime, it's not going to do you any good. But we need to take a walk with God and not ask him all the, why did this, how come the U.S. soccer team lost? And not asking questions, just going, just look at the beauty. And so many of your worries and concerns just melt away. It doesn't answer your questions, but it lets you feel like, oh, this feels good. And, you know, by getting outside, I'm not talking about going and walking at the fair, as fun as that might be. It's just like, no, how about and go somewhere where there are trees and grass and animals and things like that. It speaks powerfully. It's how God speaks most clearly. And we need to remember that, because when God showed up in a condition of horrible suffering, all he did was say, look around. Look at what I've made. Look at what I created. Look at the beauty of what I've done. And, you know, when we do this, when we come to these sorts of conclusions, and when we just stop trying to fix things and we just allow God to speak, and allow him to be God, and for us to just go, okay, good things happen. There are great conclusions that come to our stories, regardless of how they started, regardless of how painful they are. And so when we look at this book, when we look at this story, let's just consider those kinds of points and say, okay, I have my pain. Where do I take it? What do I look for? Somebody in my life is in pain. What can I bring? What do I want to make sure that I don't bring? And I'm grateful to Job, because the suffering that he went through was partly about this struggle between Satan and God, in a way. I mean, in the story, that's the way it's presented. But it's the same struggle that goes on with us all the time. The question of, do I listen to the slander and lies and evil that the devil and the world bring into my life? Or do I use the opportunity to worship God and submit to him and receive from him whatever it is that he wants to give me today? That's the titanic question of life, really. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, I know that you're probably in pain. I know that it's difficult. And for some of you, you've hardened your face toward God because you've been blaming him for the hard things that have happened in your life, but you're listening, and I'm thinking maybe it's time for you to, in your pain, to just worship him anyway, to just believe by faith that he is a good God, and that maybe, just maybe, there's something unique that he's been doing in your life, that this isn't just a coincidence, but also that he isn't hurting you. The pain is coming because this is where we are in history. This is where we are in life. And yet, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and he's been blessing you. There are a lot of ways in which good things have happened to you because of God. Wouldn't you like to know a God that made your problems feel like they're not such a big deal? And there's beauty and goodness in my life as well. And if so, I would just encourage you today to just give your life to him. I mean, you've been fighting against the pain in your life, and it's not making the pain go away, right? But how about just taking a chance on trusting the one who made you, who's a lot bigger and smarter than you are, and just give him permission to do the things that he's going to do anyway. But just bow yourself, submit yourself to him. I know that's hard because you think that by your fighting and arguing with him that somehow maybe you'll win. And you're being really defiant, and I totally understand that. But I'm telling you, the way to make this right is to surrender to the God that you don't yet know, the God that none of us completely understands. But you go with that, and you'll find out. Your questions begin to melt away long before you get answers to them. And you'll begin to see the world in a whole different way. And God will be working in your life for all of us this week, though. When the pain comes, let's look for the beauty. It's all around us. Let's worship him when we don't feel like it. Anybody can worship him when you're feeling good. Can you worship him when you're not feeling good? That's what shows a heart that chooses to worship despite the pain. And that's where I want to be, and I know that's where most of you want to be as well. So let's just do that this week.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com. or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Well, let's finish things up in a word of prayer now.
Lord, this is a difficult story. There are some things in it that I still am a long ways from totally understanding and comprehending. But you don't explain yourself other than to reveal to us how big you are, how powerful and loving and grand you are. And I pray that today, sometime, each one of us would just get out and marvel at your creation a little bit and see what that does to the burdens that we're carrying. And for the people who don't know you yet, help them to just have a sense that it's time for them to bow to you and to trust you to be the amazing God that we know you are, that you say you are, who just wants to love and forgive everyone in this world who will give you permission to do it. So draw them to yourself, help them to have the courage to come down and pray and to get things right with you. God, whatever you want to do in our lives this week, I know you're going to do it anyway. So help us to allow you to do it, to permit you with a good attitude, with an attitude of faith, to accept whatever you have in store for us, even when it hurts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe points out the two ways to live through a study in Psalm 1. We'll have another Bible story for you then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and yeah.